Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Foley's a noisy boy.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show. SmackDown.
The date is the 23rd of September, 1999. Eyes Wide Shut is still number one in the UK box office. Eiffel 65, I'm Blue, is in the charts at number one.
I bought 10 copies of that on CD.
Why 10?
Because I wanted to get it to number one, and I thought that's how charts worked.
Oh, you were one of them.
I certainly was, my friend.
I've never done that with anything.
I did that with two songs. I did that with Eiffel 65, Blue, and Uncle Cracker Follow Me.
Oh.
Not even ashamed.
My mum heard Uncle Cracker on Top of the Pops and was, follow me and everything is all right. So, oh, that's nice, relaxing music. Went and bought the album.
Oh, you don't buy the album.
I don't know if anyone knows, but Uncle Cracker was known, if anything, for being Kid Rock's DJ. So the rest of it's like gangster rap. Like, yo, bitches, kill you. And my mum was like, do you want this album?
No Strangers to Shame was the album, if I remember correctly. Was it Double Wide. My apologies. No Strangers to Shame was the follow-on album. Double Wide was the first album. I know. Double Wide. It went Double Wide, No Stranger to Shame, and then 72 and Sunny.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
And she nearly made the exact same mistake with OPM. Heaven is a Half Pipe, because the radio edit is nice. If I die... Then someone said no. She learned her lesson, so well done, ma'am.
And well done to ma'am.
And she wasn't frustrated enough. Resident Evil 3 was the big release, just come out. It's a bit of a weird one, that. It's got a lot of fans, but I much prefer Resi 2.
That's the one with the big monster chasing you.
That's right, Nemesis chases. It goes, stars, like he's waiting for Dave Meltzer's review. And
out in your multitude, or singing Les Mis.
Oh, that works, yeah.
Fugitive running.
In the gutter, looking for the stars. But on UPN, there was a little show, you may have heard of it, you may not have, don't worry, called SmackDown. That was just reached its fifth episode. What happened with it? Is it still on TV? What is a SmackDown anyway? All these questions and more can only be answered by myself, Matthew, and Mr. Tom Campbell, the man who's, if his voice was a meal, it would be gravy.
Oh, you cheeky devil. Welcome to the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown podcast, Matthew.
Thank you, Tom.
It's nice to be here. What an honor and a privilege. You all right?
I'm mint.
Nice.
I'm awake, unlike last time we
were
did
both,
this.
To be honest with you, we were both quite sleepy last Monday.
Yeah.
Although I still think we made a 10-star effort, but we were very sleepy last Monday. Considering that I started work this morning at 4:45. I'm actually quite
really
weak. Yeah, Jesus. Busy day, but you know, what with Alicia Fox being binned off on the day of recording,
too soon. Tom.
I know,
too
but by
soon.
By the time this goes out, hopefully the dust will have settled, or it would have proved to be hokum. I'll let you decide. Remember where you were.
It's a weird one. This one. Not only I've got Michael Cole and Michael Hayes on commentary, but also I'm going to steal a Tracy Smothers line for this one. Do you know Chris Candido, No Gimmicks Needed?
Yes.
Yes. Well, this is SmackDown number 5. All gimmicks needed.
It was a very gimmick-heavy SmackDown, wasn't it, from 1999? Do you want a little bit of a rundown of things that were happening in the wrestling world before
we have a deep dive? Yes, set the scene. Let's shut our eyes and pretend that we're there.
Well, you've already done that beautifully with the pop culture references. In the wrestling world, WWE are days away now, apparently, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, from signing ECW wrestler Peter Sinercha, better known to you and I as Taz. Uh-huh. So we wouldn't see Taz on the screens until the end of January the 30th to be exact. But it was at this point where early discussions were had about Vince McMahon's keenness to bring in the, or whatever they call him, Suplex King, or I don't know. So Taz was in talks this year, or at this point in the year, to become a part of WWF. Undertaker had the weekend off coming up, as you know.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
As you know, he still can't wrestle a whole lot due to a groin injury. We'll get into the availability of the Undertaker in the show itself. But he was given the weekend off to attend the De La Hoya Trinidad match.
Oh,
so he was off all like house shows. I mean, he hadn't been on house shows for a long time anyway because he's paggard. But he went to go watch boxing. Austin,
I was going to say, at least he wasn't wasted on a crap match. That was a very eventful one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Austin is next week filming his very first episode of Nash Bridges.
That's right. Go on.
He's going to be in 3. This is the first one, so I'm sure he'll take to the acting like a duck to water. And there is some insider discussion about WCW's secondary show, Thunder, being moved to Sundays because the ratings are so appalling.
Yes.
Not being helped by the arrival of SmackDown on a Thursday night.
Right. That really was a Dr. Kevorkian situation for Thunder. They would be moved to Wednesdays, I believe, was the final thing. It wasn't moved to Sundays. And it would keep on changing, depending on what was happening.
Sundays would have made more sense. They could have treated it a bit like a Sunday Night Heat type thing. They could have done stuff to build to the show the following night. That would have been quite exciting.
Yeah, but...
The other thing from this year is... The UK scene is in a particularly funny place. Hmm. When it comes to the appreciation of American wrestling... I'm going to throw these figures at you. This blows my mind.
Go on.
Okay. Ratings from the UK, from Wrestling Observer. Keep in mind that Raw and Nitro are on satellite stations, they're on Sky, mm-hmm. while WCW Worldwide is on the network. So, for the 10th of September, Monday Night Raw had 230,000 viewers. Mm-hmm. Nitro had 240,000 viewers. WCW Worldwide... 820,000 viewers. At this point, the most watched wrestling show in the country was a recap show of WCW. Mm.
How could you watch Worldwide at that point?
Bravo, I do believe.
In 99?
I believe it was on Bravo.
Because it did get moved on to Channel 5, but that was in 2000, I'm sure. 99, where could you see it?
Oh, maybe Bravo came
out. Oh,
after.
No, and TNT. No. No, Nitro and Thunder on TNT.
Yeah, was it not on after Cartoon Network?
That's right.
Cartoon Network followed by another cartoon in the Trials and Tribulations of WCW.
That was good, that. Write that down.
Thank you very much. Also from this, I wanted to just take a little snapshot of the British wrestling scene in this particular year.
Oh, please do.
We were in a funny time in the UK scene because there was the rise of tribute shows.
Oh.
You know, Rock Steadfast as The Rock... UK Undertaker, UK Kane, The Legend of Doom, which I do believe was Ricky Knight. I might be wrong. Ricky, if you're listening, corrections or clarifications?
I didn't know that, actually. Let me have a check.
I might just look at him. It looks like it might have been The Dominator.
Mm.
The Dominator, Stu Allen. I've picked a card that was around this time in the UK wrestling world. So this is the 12th of September, 1999. British wrestling was quite few and far between at this point. So I picked FWA's Reckless Abandon from the 12th of September, 1999. A show.
This is going to be... I'm so hyped for this, by the way.
A show coming out of Kidderminster, Worcestershire, United Kingdom. Now, from my own parochial knowledge of Kidderminster, it's either going to be at a Kidderminster Town Hall or at the Glades, which is the sports centre. Because I grew up in that area and I used to work in that area for many years. So I'm a big fan of wrestling straight out of Kidderminster. So this is what FWA presented. And Matthew, I'd like your thoughts on the card from 1999, FWA, a staple of British wrestling.
Okay.
Justin Richards defeated Luz Peligrosa. That name ring a bell with you?
No, that can't be Justin Richards who...
Not the ring announcer.
No, I mean... But I mean...
Is it?
No, sorry, come on then. I don't know the second one.
Paul Travell? Remember Paul Travell?
I do remember.
He had a he had a barbed wire baseball bat called Mr. Pointy.
Did he?
Yes, he did. I think not at this point, but later on in his run, he had I'm sure it was a barbed wire baseball bat, and he called it Mr. Pointy. He was very much considered like an early Jimmy Havoc, in the sense he was just like a hardcore wrestler that everybody sort of leaned towards. He defeated Adam Mansfield.
Okay.
The Quick Kick Kid and the X Factor. Oh. I'm assuming that is a double-headed X-Pac tribute. Defeated Kevin O'Neill and Zombie. Presuming a zombie.
Kevin O'Neill, the comic artist.
Yes, sorry. The same guy. Alex Shane and Leon Murphy.
There we go,
isn't he? Up to take on and defeat Ash and Curve, a.k.a.
The New Breed.
The New Breed.
That's right, yeah, because they would stay around for a little bit longer. They were very colourful, looked like AJW type thing. They would do a bit like, they're a bit gothy. A bit like the UK version of The Brood. But
They felt a bit like The Brood. They felt a bit like, a little bit, they look a little bit like the Kings of Catch. Aspen Faith and...
Do you think so?
My memory might be playing tricks with me, but I certainly remember they've had a bit of a look like that. Paul Glory...
Sorry to interrupt you. Is that Skull Murphy as well, I think? Because he looked like a proper, bare-knuckle fighter type dude.
Might be the wrong people altogether then.
Oh, no reason.
Paul Glory defeated John Stryker.
No,
nothing on that
Those
one.
Those are definitely wrestling names.
Enigma defeated Blade. Wesley Snipes putting
Those are definitely
in.
Backyard wrestling names.
Yeah. Scotty Rock. Now, Scotty Rock rings a bell.
Yeah. He's just done a thing, hasn't he? I've literally just Googled him.
Has he done a thing?
Did I just search for him? Yeah. Is that the same Scotty Rock from the Northeast? He has just done a TED Talk at Newcastle College or Uni?
Oh, it wouldn't be that Scotty Rock.
How many Scotty Rocks are there going to be in?
Well, that's the Scotty Rock you're thinking of is in his 20s. This is 1999.
Guy's looking good.
I don't think it's... Because that Scotty Rock's also spelled R-A-W-K.
The two Scotty Rocks?
From the Rock and Cold.
It's such a good name.
It's a strong, strong wrestling name. And your main event with special referee Johnny Storm, Doug Williams defeated Jody Fleisch.
There we go.
There's your main event.
Those are the big three.
Those are your big three right there. That's your holy trinity of British wrestling at this point.
That's right.
All in the same match.
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty fluffy. That was a standard British wrestling card coming out of Kidderminster.
Oh, you were lucky if you got a card that good in 99.
Wouldn't you just be? Yeah. So that's the world of wrestling in 1999. We now pass over to Matthew to lead us in this week's episode of Thursday Night SmackDown at this point.
How am I supposed to follow Ash and Curve?
You follow it with an absolute belter of a show. And a gift on commentary.
Oh, thank you. Oh, you mean Michael Hayes. So, The Undertaker is all over the intro. We are in Dallas, Texas, the Reunion Arena, and 3 days away from Unforgiven, live on pay-per-view. Recap as we start the show. Vince McMahon hit Triple H with a chair on Raw after vacating the title. Also, Vince... Okay, bail me here. Vince has been reinstated as chairman due to Austin giving him the power, and... On commentary, they go, don't forget that contract Austin signed months ago.
Yeah. So this
is
the thing that said that when Austin beat Undertaker at the end of an era match, it meant that,
that
Vince McMahon couldn't come back.
Yeah.
But there was a special clause in that contract that we didn't know about, but was always there, that said the only person that can bring back the authority is John Cena. The only person that can bring back Vince McMahon is Steve Austin.
Right, and the little tiny print at the bottom. When ratings go down...
In case of emergency, break glass.
Yeah, get Vince.
They broke the glass.
However, they'd say face make Austin not look like the biggest idiot in the world, reinstating the dictator that's made his life hell for the next few years. Austin gets a WF title shot over it, so... okay. Mm-hmm. So they call a... Not exactly a no-deal exit. Crowd chants, asshole... As Triple H is in the ring, Vince McMahon is there and tells, wow, Triple H, they're chanting your name.
Well, that's it, because Vince McMahon brings Triple H out to start the show, doesn't he?
He does. I probably should have written that
down. No, that's fine. I just knew that Vince McMahon was... That was what felt weird to begin with, was Vince McMahon was inviting Triple H to join him in the ring to start the show.
Yes. And this is a great performance from Vince, as he has that commentator voice for most of it. an expensive Triple H. Oh, I mean, come on. Just because I've been reinstated in power doesn't mean I'm going to hold a grudge. And he gets mad. Just because you threatened me, you threatened my son, you threatened to do things to my wife, you think I could hold a grudge? It's actually a nice bit of acting there.
It's beautiful.
And he goes back to being normal, Vince, immediately afterwards, which is, yeah. He's going to make Triple H wrestle all of his competitors. I don't know if you're given the six-pack challenge tonight. In gimmick matches.
Oh.
So Russo somewhere sat with a priapism.
I won't lie, mate. A 15-year-old Tom Campbell was sat there with a priapism watching this as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but you runs it down. The crowd's like, yay,
everything
gimmicks.
Was like, what? Oh. Hit us with the gimmicks, Math. What have we got tonight?
In one, he will take on Big Show in a chokeslam match. Pretty self-explanatory there. In two, taking on Kane in an Inferno match with fire around the ring, if not in the ratings. Number three. In three. Mess it up. We'll take on Undertaker in a casket match. Ooh. In four. He will take on the Brahma Bull in a... No, I've messed it up. Take on The Rock in a Brahma Bull rope match. He's known as the Brahma Bull. Yeah, the Brahma Bull, Bull.
It's The Rock in a Brahma Bull rope match.
That's right, Brahma Bull rope.
Brahma Bull rope.
The more times you say it, the worse it sounds.
The rope for a Brahma Bull.
Yes, that's what they do with Brahma Bulls. Tie into your wrist. And then Mankind, number five, in a Boiler Room match.
Bullies, ooh, special prize.
That's it. And if he wins three of the five, he will get to stay in the six-part challenge.
Way!
And Unforgiven in 3 days' time.
And he'll win himself a this luxury tease, mate! And a speedboat! Where'd you live? Tamworth.
I mean...
But this lineup for tonight genuinely blew my 15-year-old mind. I was like, this is like a whole year of massive matches! Like, in the next hour and a half! What is this? Very exciting time to be a wrestling fan.
And by the way, match number one against Big Show is right now.
Oh, do you not love this bit? This bait and switch. So Vince says, your first match is right now, and here comes your opponent. Whole crowd rush to the barricade. Well, a few people walk away from the barricade.
Oh, I didn't see that.
They rush the barricade thinking, oh, it's going to be The Rock. Nah.
Wow.
I did feel for it.
In fairness, you only get 16 or so shots in those disposable cameras. So, Big Show takes on Triple H in a chokeslam match. This went as well as Nemesis taking on Brad Vickers. There we go. There's a Resident Evil reference. Commentators remind us about the sledgehammer shot that Big Show took weeks ago in the Buried Alive match.
Yep, handy little reminder. That's why Big Show is cross with him.
And the benefit of having feuding with so many different people is when plans change, as they have with Austin, and will change a bit later on, is that Triple H can just turn slightly to the right and go, oh yeah, I hit him with a hammer.
Yeah.
Come here, you big get.
That's the handy thing about being in so many embroiled storylines. I'm pretty sure we are one injury away from getting Jeff Jarrett in this match. I kid. Oh. Jeff Jarrett would have been nowhere near this match.
Yeah. Story is on every other segment of the show that doesn't involve Triple H. So, Big Show beats around Triple H. Triple H goes for a choke slam. You can tell he's really trying as well.
Good effort.
Crowd laughs at him, gives him a choke slam. That's it.
And one hell of a choke slam as well.
It's a good one.
Like, and you forget that Big Show used to be able to deliver choke slams like this. Oh, it was stunning.
The one armed, the showstopper.
The showstopper.
It wasn't a choke slam. It was so good at its own name.
It held him up there for ages, like perched him on his shoulder and then just dropped him down. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And give him another one as well after.
I was going to say, he was so happy with that. And I think he knew that Tom Campbell would be commentating on it decades later and go, you know what? Give him another one.
Give him another one, like a slightly smaller one.
Yeah.
I'm a bit knackered now.
Middle show.
Bit tired now, thank you.
We then get the announcement that Ken Shamrock will be taking on Chris Jericho in a First Blood match.
Bloody
because
hell.
There's just not enough gimmick matches tonight.
Bull rope match, casket match, Boiler Room Brawl, Inferno match, and now a First Blood match still to come. And this is a ridiculous episode of SmackDown.
And afterwards, Shasta McNasty.
Oh yeah, we've still got Shasta McNasty to look forward to.
It's so fun to say.
Should we do a watch along one day with Shasta McNasty?
Yeah.
I think we probably should.
Yeah, you know what? We'll watch the one episode with Brian Christopher in.
So tonight, Triple H is facing everybody he is going to be in competition with at Unforgiven in the six
pack
challenge.
That's right. So it'll be five matches.
Providing he can make it through, he'll be there as well.
Yes.
At this point in the podcast, I would like to invite you listening now to join myself and Matthew Gregg next week, where instead of watching Thursday Night SmackDown, years ahead of myself, instead of watching Thursday Night SmackDown, we'll be presenting a special watch-along episode for WWF Unforgiven. So myself and Matthew will be watching the entirety of the 1999 Unforgiven pay-per-view, and you can join us as well next week.
Oh, how nice is that?
I often find that if I announce that at the end of the podcast, people don't normally make it to the end of the podcast. So I thought I'd drop it in here now.
They want to see if Triple H gets into the thing.
Yeah, so do we. And we'll find out together, and then we'll watch it all next week.
Outside, we get exclusive footage of the Dudley Boys attacking Teddy Long as he's protesting. Michael Hayes says, aha, looks like they're sending a message to Farouk.
You hear Devon Dudley say, you tell Ron Simmons, thou shalt not mess with the Dudleys. Yeah. You don't call him Ron. Not for a few years yet.
Jericho doesn't want to wait until Unforgiven to beat up Shamrock. Yeah, good point, Jericho, because he'll be gone by then.
So he wants the match tonight instead.
It's right. He knew. Jericho knew.
He knew the crack.
X-Pac shows up to a huge pop. It's the first match he's had since splitting away from Kane. Since he lost all that weight.
All that dead weight.
And this is some prime green coal. So let's say, Cole says, wow, look what he's drinking. Because he's got that giant green energy drink that even we didn't even know the name of. Then doesn't name it. So I don't know why that was, because it's the second time that green drink has appeared. And it's the second time they haven't named it. So it's almost like
a promo deal, that is.
Yeah. You can see him drinking it, but, you know, do you think there's levels of sponsorship?
There
he
must
can drink
be.
It for this much, and then for much more, we'll name it.
Well, from my background in radio, like a lot of companies, they offer like your common or garden radio ad, or you can pay a different tariff to have the radio presenters talk about your product.
Right.
So whether it's a similar thing, I don't know. Right. I don't know. Who was named? I'll tell you what, who was named ringside? Stanley Cup champion Brett Hall, who is a massive pervert.
Can I see?
Now,
I don't know anything about him. Go ahead.
No. I don't know anything about him other than what I saw here. And what I saw here was the camera cuts to the Stanley Cup champion Brett Hall. He's got his kid on his lap. Picture of family goodness. They're talking him up, right? Whilst he is in shot, a lady in a tight red top walks in front of him, and you watch his eyes move from straight ahead, and he just follows this woman. Ah! And then suddenly he does it, and then realizes, oh, wait, I'm looking this way. You can watch now Brett Hall. I hope I haven't broke his marriage up all these years later. Oh. Where you can watch Brett Hall now on the WWE Network being a massive pervert.
It's just what this happened on SmackDown Episode 5, and no one was watching. Eh? The only thing greener than the drink that X-Pac is drinking is, of course, Michael Cole's commentary. Never mind that. He is taking on Mark Henry, European champion.
Big Mark Henry.
So it's the battle of sexy chocolate and taurine. Which drink shall you have in this evening? And this match brought to you by Championship Motocross, featuring Ricky Carmichael. The game that got good reviews, so I can't rib on it.
The Michael Cole line says, sponsored by Championship Motocross, so real, you'll be pulling your teeth out of the dirt. So what? So it's the game that's so real you will bite the ground. Is that what we're suggesting?
You know, I like that line. I thought that was a good line.
I couldn't be. Now, the other sponsors. did you collect the other sponsors?
No, because I was like, hang on, are they all sponsoring this one match?
Well, of course they are. It's a feature match.
That's amazing.
They said
sponsors.
To them, would you like to sponsor a championship match on the WWF? And they went, hell, that sounds great. European title, Henry X-Pac. Well done. Thank you for your money. So it's the...
reply all, yes. So go on. I only had the Ricky Carmichael one. What else followed?
Okay. Crispy M&Ms, pretty standard Crispy M&Ms. And wavesmusic.com, the official music provider of WWF.com. I typed in wavesmusic.com into my Google Chrome browser. Uh-huh. This is ace. It links now to a website called Waves XR, who are providers of virtual concerts.
Okay.
So if you're an artist or like a burgeoning artist and you've got some money to burn, you can go to Waves XR and they give you all the tools and the software you need to set up in your home studio with a camera, a little avatar that appears on the screen, and you can sing your little heart out through your avatar to an audience watching around the world. And Waves XR are the company behind virtual concerts.
To the millions.
And tens. To at least 12 Googled, people.
I'm glad your phone seems to be better than mine. I Googled Waves... .com music, and my phone laughed at me.
He went, hello, 1999, ding dong. Connie from AOL says hi.
He went, ha, ha, ha.
You have email. Yeah,
then it played Snake. So, D'Lo Brown is at ringside. Henry powerlifts X-Pac, something he did very well, even in 99. To Vader on one episode of Sunday Night Heat.
Yeah.
And maybe go, oh, Mark Henry is actually a strong man.
He's a muscle boy.
Yeah. Busts out the skid mark. As Booker T affectionately referred it to as SummerSlam that one year we did the Sheamus. I did not realise he was doing it that early in his career. It's when X-Pac is in a 619 position, yeah, and Mark Henry just dives out the ring basically and lets his ass do the talking.
So he rolls over him. Is that called the skid mark?
It's not the official name for it, but Booker T went, oh, he left a skid mark on Sheamus. And it's like, you know what? That move did not have a name. It does now, Booker T.
Wow. I like that. That's going to stick. In many ways.
Yeah, D'Lo Brown, who we all love, obviously, on the show, does get a bit of a mixed signal here when he's asked, so, who do you want to face at Unforgiven then? It must be Mark Henry. He's like, oh, I don't really care which one I face. And my coach is like, surely it's Mark Henry, the guy you're feuding with. Oh, yeah, right, yeah, yeah, the whole Jeff Jarrett thing. Yeah, that's Mark Henry I want, yeah.
Because was that match sort of hanging in the balance at this point? Would D'Lo Brown have... Because then would D'Lo Brown have faced X-Pac if X-Pac had won?
That's what they said, yeah. He said, I will fight the champion no matter who he is. And we're like, yeah, but you really hope it's the guy that we'd be building you up on TV, right?
Yeah, I thought he might screw Mark Henry over to make sure that he gets to Unforgiven. It's like, I want to take the belt off you.
You think that'd be the thing, but D'Lo's like, no, I'm not bothered, I just want the title.
He just wants the belt,
No, D'Lo, I'm going to ask you one more time. I was kicking you in the shin. Hello, Mr. Thompson. Henry misses an elbow, so D'Lo remarks, aha, that's why I needed to lose weight. He's too slow.
And that's it, and he really cuts him down for being out of shape. He's too paggard to get back in the ring, so he's got a point.
They go outside, Henry gets distracted by D'Lo Brown, and gets counted out. So X-Pac wins this triple sponsored match. Ricky Carmichael's doing whatever you do on a BMX bike outside. And he's doing a BMX. As he goes on the ramp, does that. Eats crispy M&Ms and listens to a 32 kilobyte .wav file. That sounds remarkably like a Justin Henry Skype call. So, no title because we saw enough of... Yeah, thankfully, X-Pac does not win the title here because we saw enough of X-Pac versus D'Lo Brown already this year. And then Mark Henry, obviously not Abby, he gives a hellish bump to D'Lo, who runs flat out in the ring post, and JFK's right off the mat.
He proper bounces, then he back into the left.
Yeah, so good one, D'Lo.
So we're getting the match then. We're getting D'Lo Mark Henry for the European Championship.
Yes.
On Sunday at Unforgiven.
That's right.
Oh,
that match is set in stone like all the other matches on the card, Tom.
Oh, yep. Nothing can change on this card now. I'm excited to see Undertaker challenge for the title.
Mima out the blue. Luna Vachon. Yes, that's right, Tom. Luna Vachon.
Oh, her from off of being with Gangrel and Bam Bam Bigelow that time.
That's right. Who you'll know. She's one of the other people on the show that's obviously on the other reviews.
Obviously, yeah. Well, that's it,
still
yeah.
'94.
Myself and Justin Henry do the Coltonic Classic Raw review on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. And Luna Vachon is one of the only real standouts in a very, very anemic women's division at this point, which is a division because it has a champion.
Yeah, sorry. But it was
recently that we discovered that, according to WWF in 1994, women were classed in the same bracket as dwarves and midgets. Because there was a mixed tag match at WrestleMania 10, which myself, Justin, and Matthew watched. You can watch with us on the podcast feed. In which it was a mixed tag between Bam Bam Bigelow and Luna versus Doink and Dink. And Luna and Dink had to wrestle each other. They couldn't wrestle the others. Like...
No, I'll correct you. Dink couldn't wrestle.
But it's nice to see Luna popping up. I feel like a time travel, like a proper,
yeah.
Like, Castrol GTX powered DeLorean owner now, because now I'm seeing Luna much further down the road, still as raspy as ever, still as built as ever. Slightly bigger assets than I recall. Mm. I wonder whether that was some sort of doping policy that WWF instigated at this point with their women's division.
That's right. She had to make weight. So you're telling me that last time you saw Luna Vachon, the women's division was anemic, but she was still a highlight.
Yeah.
Well, hold on to your butt, Tom, because Luna Vachon is challenging Ivory for a title match at Unforgiven, and it's going to be in a hardcore match. And that is the entirety of the title match build.
That's all there is, isn't it? Luna had literally 35 seconds to get this over. And I remember watching this going, okay, I'm excited. Yeah. Women's match under hardcore rules. Yeah, I'm down for that. I remember being quite, that's cool.
Yeah, I do like Luna Vachon's voice because it does make me think back of home and all the female bus drivers.
Where are you going to? Day ticket, 180.
Sorry, is Luna Barry the Shark? I just realised.
Do you want a day ticket? To hell. No, sorry. Darlington. Two little ducks, 22.
The best Luna line was when she looked at Sable and said,
I'm going to take that Estee Lauder face and turn it into an Andy Warhol original.
That's all right, yeah.
Great line from Luna.
Yeah. Apparently she was, I'm going to describe this. She was playing the role of a reporter in Kevin Sullivan's company, which would have been Georgia, I think. And she was there going, excuse me, I have a question for you on behalf of, I don't know, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And then Kevin Sullivan was like, aha! And then, like, did his voodoo magic on her. And that's when she turned around, like, I'm evil now. But that was in the 80s. She never recovered. No one ever gave her the serum to switch her back.
The power of Kevin Sullivan transcends leagues and divisions and promotions.
Right.
Once you turn in a Kevin Sullivan fuel promotion, you turn forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's why John Tender spent the rest of his years as Shark.
Right. That damn Kevin Sullivan. So Luna Vachon, the spell was never broken. She was always, it's Luna Vachon, the exact same gimmick as she's always been.
Oh, God, I love
her. I think we really missed out on, like, hi, I'm Luna Vachon, traffic warden. Oh, wait, no, women don't get gimmicks in 94. The dwarfs do. Anyway, enough of Luna. And on Raw, Jeff Jarrett lost. Apparently lost a match? Or she attempted... No, yeah, apparently they said lost a match to Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, so it was Jeff Jarrett and Deborah versus Test and Stephanie McMahon.
Cool. Right.
And Jeff Jarrett was pinned by Stephanie McMahon. You know what? I have a funny feeling that was a decision that came from not just the booking committee. I feel like that came from very high up the food chain. You know what we're going to do this week on Raw? Steph over Jeff. Stephanie McMahon's going to pin Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. Almost hilarious in hindsight moments when we figure out who would be feuding with WWE in a few years' time.
Oh, hell yeah.
And what's happening in a few months? It's not even a month, is it, when we get the Jeff Jarrett hostage situation?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway, more of that to come. So, out of... because he was so mad at losing to a woman, he put the figure four on Deborah, despite Miss Kitty's begging, because Jeff Jarrett is criminally insane.
He is, isn't he? He's ridiculous. What I can't get over here is Jeff Jarrett has just been an absolute bar steward for several weeks now to women. And Michael Hayes at commentary going, oh, he put a figure four on the puppies. Like, wait. And there's a line where Jeff Jarrett's in the ring with the mic.
Oh, yeah, say it.
He says, Deborah's not here. Deborah's at home. And then Michael Hayes goes, wish I was at home with her. Mate, she's at home because she got attacked. You massive pervert.
The full thing he
going
says.
Going out with Brett Hall.
The buddy. Oh, there we go. That's good. No. The full thing he says, I've got to say it full. Women are weak and men are dominant. Deborah's malnourished puppies are home resting.
Oh my god. Oh, I wish I was at home with her.
I wish I was at home treating those malnourished puppies. God. Saying rude expletives. Anyway, a female stage manager has the gall to tell Jeff Jarrett from the great state of Tennessee to wrap it up.
So hang on. So these stage managers, They tell the guys to... Where was she during the Triple H reign of terror in 2003? We could have done with her then. 25-minute blooming promos.
She's there like the comedy clubs flashing a light.
The Fiend comes out.
So Jeff Jarrett sees a woman and instantly the music from Kill Bill kicks in his head.
But, oh, God, it's evil, but it's funny.
But on behalf of all women everywhere, luckily, China KOs him and puts his pants on.
Yep.
Whilst putting on the apron that he put her in last week. Oh, beautiful. Mm. You'll love to see it.
Good statement. Mm. Show, don't tell. I don't think China needed to do... By the way, we're eating Haribo Star Mix as we're going on.
No. They haven't paid. They only paid us the Xbox Green Drink sponsorship. These are generic candies.
By the way, we're eating some sweets.
There you go. God, so if only we knew the brand. If only we knew the brand of thousands of people.
Yeah, this was good. Show, not tell. China putting the ladle and the pan in his hands, putting the apron on him, putting his pants on. Nice. Nice bit of nice angle work there.
It's a good look. It's a good thing to take a screenshot of and go, what was happening here? If you forgot that. Why is China dressed as Jared? Is this an elite alliance? You know what? I'm horrible. I digress.
No.
Lugs. The for your feet.
It's all in the hugs.
It's actually needed. I'm very happy Glugs did this segment. On Raw, Kane cost the Unholy Alliance the tag team titles to Mankind and The Rock, The Rock Talk Connection. It's not clear here, but all we know is Undertaker was too banged up to do anything but commentate the match.
Even then he had a sore tongue.
Exactly. I mean, if your 33-pound head had a headache...
Oh, no.
No wonder he needed a year off. That Mojo Jojo cranium of his.
He's just falling apart. Like, he's being just wheeled out like Weekend at Bernie's to episodes of TV now. Like, it sucked to be Undertaker at this point because, like, you are so desperate for time off. Like, every part of you hurts. Yeah, they go, okay, can you just come and do this TV show? No, but can I just lie down for a bit? No, we haven't got time. You can go see the boxing next weekend. How's that? All right, fine.
Wish I was De La Hoya.
Wish I was at home. Deborah.
Mine old merch poppies need rest too. Yeah, so literally, when he said dead man walking, that was him.
Yeah, it wasn't a catchphrase. It was a way of life.
And we have match number two of the Triple H trials of into getting into Mount Olympus.
Well, I wrote in my notes. What did I quote in my notes? The seven challenges of Hercules or something. I can't remember what I wrote.
It's the 12 tasks of Hercules.
The 12 tasks of Hercules, kind of. I thought I wrote that in my notes. Maybe I didn't. The 12 tasks of Hercules.
Yes. It's the abbreviated version. It's only on one CD.
Yeah.
So it's the Kane Inferno match. And you can tell the ratings are down when they're busting out the cool-looking Inferno match in a random episode of SmackDown.
How exciting.
We cannot let these Everyone Loves Raymond repeats make us look bad.
Inferno matches were great, though, weren't they? Imagine they did look an Inferno cool. match on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, this is...
Mom, stop putting me in the fire! Oh, Raymond, you're always complaining. Mom, Deborah, don't put me... John, I don't know whether you work on this podcast, John, but I'm going to shout into the ether in case you do. John, Everybody Loves Raymond Inferno match. There's your Photoshop work for today, if you listen to this podcast. Don't know if he does or not.
And if you don't, piss off.
He might not work Tuesdays.
he's like, damn it, Tom, I need a rest.
He's like Triple H. He don't work Tuesdays.
Lasted longer than the original FMW Inferno match, which inspired this gimmick. Do you know about that?
Really? No, I don't. Please educate.
All right, so roughly the same time, FMW, the original big-ass hardcore company,
Frontier
which is...
Martial Arts Wrestling.
That's it. I see you know your judo.
I'm not a paper wrestling fan. Something I am because I'm not perturbed and destroyed by the business.
Wonderful. So everyone, I feel like I'm condescending. So you know FMW, it's in this country called Japan.
I think you mean ECW.
Yeah, you're right.
Stephanie McMahon.
ECW Japan, as it was known.
I said, it'll soon be known NXT Japan.
Right. Oh, no. That's not funny.
Did you hear they tried to buy Big Japan? That was one of the speculations.
Was it Big Japan or Noah? It was Noah, what I got told. Yeah.
It was Noah. And the speculation was, as well as Noah, they'd approach Big Japan. You know, that family-friendly deathmatch promotion.
Wait, what? Why?
That's a nice fit for your portfolio, lads. Well done.
Yeah.
But that's speculation. That's rumour and innuendo. So I don't know if that bit's true. Noah bit's true.
I mean, it would be great just to have the, you know, they'll do the Saudi Arabia. Wow, the 60-man Royal Rumble, the biggest one ever. So, we have to big up these other people. NXT Japan. Just said Michael Cole got, oh my God, that's Abdullah Kobayashi. which one's he, Michael Cole? Oh, he's the one eating the tubes. Oh, I see him. Jesus.
Here's the thing, right? I'm just spitballing on this. Do you think that this is all the Japan thing's happened by accident? Because somebody said, hey, Triple H, do you think it's worth us branching out into Japan? And Triple H on the phone went, no. Okay, we'll give him a call.
Oh, my God. Christ in a bite tongue.
I said no.
That's a key.
But we did.
Mate.
Thank you.
Mate.
Thank you.
Mate.
Thank you. Look out for that on the news.
Look, can we just wrap this up? Can we wrap this up now? This is a man out. Nothing's peaking. Nothing's moving there. Not even an effing Inferno match. Anyway.
How exciting was an Inferno match? Tell us about the first one.
It was. So the first one, actually called an Inferno match. Well, the first time they tried to do this, FMW, it's a tag match. It's Onita and Tarzan Goto, who's on again, off again friend, taking on Sabu and The Sheik. Wow. And Sheik is in his 50s or 60s at this point. I don't know, but they basically put giant wraps on the ropes, or was it barbed wire? I forget, but it doesn't matter. And covered it in
lighter fluid.
Yeah, but the proper name
petrol.
For it. No, God, no. But it but it lit up. They just completely
Flint.
Yeah
kindling.
Yeah, kindling. A bundle of sticks, which you know now.
Gunpowder.
Yeah, so this covered it and like lit up, and the match went, I think, a minute and a half because they quickly realized. Oh, the flames are like 10 foot tall. And like, oh, right, cool. We can't breathe right now. The smoke emanating off it. And it's like, oh, all right. And they try. And they go on the mat and go, Onita tries to kick him down. It doesn't work. It just gets higher and higher. And then even worse, the flames are going directly up. And then because I don't know if the winds or whatever, or because the things were shrinking, they start like going down. Like, you know, sky domes and stuff, when it's raining, they'll have that automatic roof come on. So
oh
they go,
my God.
So they go, F this. I need to run down and goes, no. And this is a sold out show for like 10,000 people. It's like, no.
Oh my God.
But then Wing would do it much more successfully like a few weeks later, like very soon after this, but he did it properly with only the little boxes and just have a little fire. And it was like, so it looked cool. They burned the entire match and no one panicked or died.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a good idea in
Bloody
principle.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And Inferno matches in WWE have always been, this looks cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's probably hot as hell, but it's not actually, you know, burning people too much.
It feels like it's one of those ideas where they went, that'd be great. Okay, now how do we do it? We haven't thought that far. No. how do we get everybody out of this safely? Oh, we haven't thought that far.
Yeah. Anyway, Kane kills Triple H for a bit, and it is worth mentioning, Triple H here, as we've said last week and the week beforehand, is great during this period of selling and making the guys wrestling look
absolutely
really impressive.
He's a work, do you know what? For all the nonsense he gets, he's a workhorse tonight. I know the story is like he's being worked, but like worked as in like he's been worked hard, okay, not
yeah,
that he's being worked into a shoot brother. He's grafting, and in real life he is grafting at this point. Like he isn't a paper champion. He's turning up to all the shows and he is working his ass off to make sure that he belongs in the top tier. And he gets a lot of grief, and he did for a long time, and a lot of time it was deserved. But at this point in time, I look back on this and I go, fair play. Here's a guy that has been given the push of a lifetime. Many people, his peers, some of the fans, don't believe he deserves it, but he's going to work for it. He's going to go in every day and graft. Much respect for him at this point. So much respect.
And he's getting beat up. However, X-Pac is dragged out, beaten up, possibly by the advertisers, for going, why didn't you say the name of the drink?
He's proper.
He's
destroyed,
dead.
Destroyed, like blood pouring out of his mouth. Like his eyes are rolling into the back of his head. Yeah. It's a horrible looking beating by The Undertaker, The Big Show, Midian and Viscera.
Yeah, he's just had a visit to Raccoon City. And you're right, Undertaker and Midian and Viscera, we have to say all those names because they are not the Unholy Alliance.
They are not aligned. It's not a thing. After tonight, it won't matter.
Shut up, Wikipedia.
Yeah, BA Wikipedia.
Unholy Alliance is Big Show and Undertaker, and that's it.
I did wonder how Kane was going to get out of the ring.
Oh, I was going to say, this is the absolute best. This is the highlight of the show. Of course, Kane sees his friend dead, dives over the ropes, the clothesline, Viscera and Midian, gets his hands set on fire in the process, ignores it and runs to check with his friend anyway, and somebody with a fire extinguisher just puts it out as he's checking. That loses, but wins over our hearts.
Oh, completely. The fact that he stood there with his hand on fire, tending to Xbox.
Yeah. You're on fire. I ain't got time to be on fire.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Yeah.
My mates look not very well.
Yeah, and then not the Unholy Alliance say, all right, and buy him, and sod off. And
like it's like Undertaker's walking off, and then just a split second before they cut away, he realises, actually, I need to walk a bit quicker because Kane's catching up. And he just kind of speeds up his pace a little bit. God.
Yeah.
It was just cute. It's cute, like, little bit by the Undertaker.
Like, you think he's running so fast, you think he was on fire. Oh, right, sorry, Kane.
It's okay, Ted. Yep. He's quite a far way away at this point. We might want to speed up a bit now, Ted.
And then in a very important segment, Undertaker, again, in his American badass gear of bandana and shades, is backstage with the lads, as we'll call them.
The lads!
Vince shows up and he's very angry. He says, like, look,
because Undertaker
you're gonna wrestle tonight.
We're done for tonight. Let's go party.
Yeah.
And Lillian Garcia, who was interviewing him, says, well, hang on, you've got a casket match. And he's like, I ain't got nothing to do. You go tell Vince, I ain't bothered. And then Vince turns.
Vince, whoop, hello, you rang, my lord. It's like, no, you gotta do the casket match. And he goes, but if you're not doing the casket match then you're not going to be in the six-part challenge. He goes, then maybe I'm not participating. And then leaves.
He says, maybe I won't be participating in anything around here.
Yeah.
And then walks out the door. And why is this significant, Matthew?
Because he's the only one on the Unforgiven poster. For a start. It's literally him doing that, I'm so effing evil pose with like lightning bolts coming out of his hands and he's not here. And this is the last time we'll see Undertaker until Judgment Day 2000, I believe.
I think literally, because he leaves.
This makes a little cameo appearance, makes us look like idiots next week.
No, he leaves dressed as the American Badass. And
that is
he comes back as the American Badass. Like, he all along, he was hinting, hey, I ain't dead anymore. I'm not dead no more. I'm now this guy. He literally put a trench coat on before he came back.
Yeah.
But this is it. This is the last time.
Do you think he should have showed up at Jim's and go, wow, what a party that was, lad.
Oh, man. I feel like I've lost 9 months. Anyway, what have I missed?
Is the six-pack challenge on?
No, he comes out and he goes, I'm here for my casket match. I've changed my mind. But no, but this is the end of a massive run for The Undertaker in the WWF.
From, was it 94 to 99? Do you have any time off during then?
He had...
Because Mabel crushed his face in 95. He still didn't take
time
off.
But he still wrestled. Yeah. He still wrestled. He had the mask on for ages. He disappeared in 1994. Because he got killed and his spirit ascended to heaven.
Oh,
and the next night on Raw, they had a tribute to The Undertaker, but they had a graphic for it, and it was like The Undertaker, but with the transparency on about 50%. Because he's now dead!
Because he's dead!
Which is like, imagine them doing that for a real passed-on wrestler.
And even do the like, he's going to heaven.
memory of Harley Race. And there's like a transparent Harley Race.
Harley Race, legend. NWA champion. Respected by every. Godspeed, our friend.
I'm the 16-time world champion, and I will never rest in peace.
And they bring out a fake Harley Race
for
a few weeks.
See, that's good. Instead of that, you ever seen on The Price is Right? They had the yodeling thing.
Oh, yodeling.
Harley Race, we pay our respects. What a great champion he was. Never be anything like him again. R.I.P. Yodeling, yodeling, yodeling,
yodeling. This is all daft silliness. Rest in peace, Harley Race. Thank you very much.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, no.
Just
you know
cover.
What? Even if he's dead, I'm still worried.
Just to cover. But to go back to The Undertaker, yeah, he took time off in 94.
Yeah.
And I think he worked solidly, unless I'm very much mistaken, through to now. And, like, even in, like, 98,
oh, wait,
he was struggling.
The buried alive thing in 96, didn't he? Did he take time off that?
I have a feeling.
Oh, he had a month off.
He had a month off.
Bless him.
Because he was back by the Rumble.
Yes.
It was back by Rumble 97. But like this is like the longest bit of time off The Undertaker would have had since the early 90s.
Yeah.
He's been a part of WWE TV. Even when he has been, as you said just a second, Math, even when like he had his face crushed by Mabel, he still turned up to work. Like he's had a groin injury for months, which is why he's not been wrestling.
Yeah.
That and many other, a multitude of other injuries. He's just been paggered. And now they've actually turned around and said, all right, mate, go rest. See you next year. And that's it. And now
Austin's back. He'll replace you. He's in the best condition of his life. He's Oh God. Okay, I'm thinking, say it a bit longer, please, actually.
But this is the last time, I think, yeah, I'm sure this is the end of the longest run because he misses WrestleMania 2000,
yes.
aka WrestleMania 16. The last WrestleMania he missed before that was WrestleMania Turn.
Yeah.
He was every other single one. So it's always a weird time when WrestleMania comes and goes without The Undertaker.
Hmm.
Always feels weird. I'm glad that there's less pressure on him to come back every year now, which there slowly is becoming less pressure. But it's always weird when WrestleMania comes and goes and we haven't seen or heard from The Undertaker. Always very weird.
I'm over it now, but
yeah,
when the first time it happened, you're like, oh, no Undertaker?
Yeah, like the last one where there was no Undertaker. But he still turned up the next night, didn't he, on Raw? Am I right in thinking that? This year he turned up on Raw the night after Mania and just went digging souls and...
Everyone does.
Hole.
Yeah.
I don't know. digging souls and popping down an hole. He's a miner now. works in the sewerage company. Digging souls, popping down an hole.
Jason Moles.
Jason Moles, he's a gardener. I've dug 9 holes for 9 moles.
No, he has got pest control. He has got a job at the minute, so I'm signing on the dole.
I've signed 9 doles for 5 souls. Anyway.
Oh, I beg your pardon, on behalf of Cultaholic lawyers who love this podcast, there's no evidence that Undertaker's committing fraud.
Undertaker has never worked in pest control, nor is he committing benefit fraud.
There's nothing to suggest
that. Although we have we have concrete evidence that he's been to Nando's.
Yeah.
That was big news this past week.
On a slow week for humanity. Undertaker, get this right. Are you ready? He went and had a meal in a public restaurant.
No, you are the worst because you are You are underselling the significance of The Undertaker, an undead zombie, going for a Portuguese meal in Scotland. That's massive. And
what do you think he'd been doing these past days?
And if you believe that it's unimportant wrestling news, I'm looking at you, Belgit Leons on YouTube comment section, who told me I should die for reporting it. You are so in the slow lane. This is big news. Shut up, Your Honor.
We're all just big kids, really. The Undertaker's eaten.
We all... No, it's he's in Nana.
If you only could see how animated Tom was right
how
now.
How can you not be excited about somebody who has spent their entire life playing an undead zombie doing something arbitrary? Every time I see The Undertaker coming out of Subway, like posting a letter. I live for The Undertaker just doing mundane stuff. I love the fact The Undertaker has an Instagram where he'll just chat to Edge about how good it is being a dad. Like, I live for Undertaker doing arbitrary stuff. An Undertaker. Someone just saw The Undertaker going into the dentist. Like,
Oh my God, he's got teeth!
He's got no...
Ah! What if Undertaker was one of us?
He's not, though. He's not. He's an undead zombie. And it's nice to see him eating Nando's. I still don't know what he had.
He had the rest in macho peas.
Nice.
That's the only one pun I've
Somebody got, said, because he was sat on his own, he had chicken breast in peace.
Oh, that's another. That's nice.
Bada bang bang. Anyway, I'm done. Let's go back to 1999. Thanks, Undertaker.
Boring.
We'll see you in Nando's in a couple of years.
Yeah, bye, Undertaker. Trying to injure yourself on the way out.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Rock, the new tag team champion, comes out and is cool.
Oh, yeah, he gives a whole thing about shoving the Stanley Cup up Triple H's ass.
Yeah, he's talking about the Stanley Cup, not really that type of thing, or the second thing he said for that fact. Mankind is also here. He's not cool. I don't know much about this guy, Stanley, but I brought you a cup, Rock, and it's a ball-protecting cup, Tom. Mick tries stealing The Rock's catchphrase in the highlight of this bit. He goes, Triple H, I've got you in the boiler room match later on, but I've got a special pipe backstage, and I'm going to shine it up, bend it up. Rock glares at him. I'm going to hit you over the head with it. Oh, these two are so good.
Should have been a T-shirt. He was...
like everything else The Rock says.
Oh, he was... As we always say this on this show, like his humor was criminally underrated by this crowd. Yeah.
This is a crowd that got that, though, you know.
They didn't deserve him most of the time. Tonight they did. Tonight we applaud you having him. You can have him tonight.
We bestow Mankind onto thee. Mm-hmm. And what else do we bestow? That's right. The return of the Road Dog, who's had one of those back injuries that only takes 4 weeks to heal that you read about.
The rumor was he was recording an album. But I don't know whether that was a cover-up because he'd had other things.
No, it was a cover-up. It was all original material.
Hey! Oh! Good night, everybody. Oh, no. We peaked here.
Try the fish. Yeah, Road Dogg was on again, off again with what I could only describe as drug issues.
Okay.
You know, so he had a disagreement with the company. He wanted to do drugs, and they disagreed with him.
So he met in the middle and didn't do drugs.
That's right. He wants a tag title shot tonight. And who's his partner? None other than the Ass Man Cometh. And the New Age Outlaws have reunited.
Do you not remember how epic this was as a moment? For a fan of this era, to see the New Age Outlaws back together.
Yeah, they gradually drifted apart in 99.
They dramatically broke up, didn't they?
No, sorry, I'm building up to me. They gradually go into the hardcore and IC title divisions. But then split up around the time that we don't talk about, because somebody died. And... well, last teaming up 4 months ago on Sunday Night Heat, so it may not have happened, in fact. So they're getting together, rather like, you know, when they did the last season of Friends because they tried doing film careers and they all died in their ass. That is what Mr. Ass is doing. Return to Road Dogg as part of the New Age Outlaws. And Michael Cole is very complimentary about the New Age Outlaws. Not only were they probably the number three merch seller in the companies behind The Rock and Austin, but he's saying, yeah, they are the three-time tag team champions. That's the one of the, but they're probably arguably the greatest tag team in WWF history. And you look at that accolade and go, yeah, you actually got a good point for this time. Because the way I look at the WWF tag division, I said this WrestleMania 10 thing, is the Quebecers left, Steiners left, and there was what? The New Rockers. It was that period that was on its arse until the New Age Outlaws picked it up.
Who are you to doubt Doug Furness and Phil LaFon?
God.
But yeah, they were never the most... technically gifted tag team. They were never like the five-star match machines.
No.
But they were big characters. And they were a big team. They were a big team. And I think that Michael Cole is saying this to, one, remind people of who they are, and two, I think when you see where this goes right now...
Mm.
It makes sense that Michael Cole is putting them over as one of the most dominant tag teams in the history of
absolutely,
the company,
yeah.
If you see where this goes.
Absolutely. And, you know, they had the formula of playing the Rock and Roll Express. You know, Road Dogg gets beat up for 10 minutes, which is bizarre in this case, because obviously they did this with every tag team match they had, because they were over. However, tonight, they're wrestling the Rock and Sock Connection, who are even more over than they are.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting dynamic. It's face versus face, technically. But Dog still gets beat up. Gun whips No, some nice action. Crowd's like, it's buzzing. Like, Jesus, what else could happen in this episode? Oh, just you wait. Billy Gunn whips Mick into Rock on the apron, just like Survivor Series 1993, Rowan and Brett. And after a long bite, the standards of SmackDown match hits him with the Famouser to become the four-time WWF Tag Team Champions.
This was huge. Mm. This felt like a big deal. Like the New Age Outlaws defeating like two former WWF champions. This is what a tag team division needs. When you have this point in time where, and they've done it recently with Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, and they did this on Raw the other night, where you have this sort of super team, this super group that forms. But you need to make sure that when the time comes for them to lose the belt, they lose the belt to tag team specialists. Because otherwise, what is the point in a tag team division if an established tag team can't beat just two top single lads?
Exactly, Tom.
And the New Age Outlaws were a better oiled unit. They were more experienced as a tag team. That is why they won. Mm-hmm. And it's probably the biggest tag team win for them.
That's right.
Second time, or maybe the third, fourth, fifth time they've pinned Mick Foley as well.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, in many different eras, in many different guises.
Right.
They just keep fighting each other.
They were Shawn Michaels to Mankind's British Bulldog. Anytime they had a title, it's like, oh, come here, Mick. It's that time of the month.
Get over here.
No, not that time of the month. New Age Outlaws do their spiel afterwards. Much joining in. Very happy. And you're right, it does make sense for an established tag team, a mega team like New Age Outlaws, to beat the two world champion guys teaming up to show that, yes, singles matches you guys beaten up, but the tag team division is a completely different animal and like that. And also it makes sense for them to do this rather weird decision to have on paper the tag team titles switch hands just after they've won them a few days earlier, because Rock and Sock were going to feud with the Unholy Alliance, the Big Dogs, Big Show and Undertaker.
Yeah.
If Undertaker's gone, there's not much point in Rock and Sock having the tag team titles.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it was, I think, I have a funny feeling this did feel a bit rushed. It didn't feel like there was no build to, oh, Dog and Gunn are mates now. Because Billy Gunn was he was kind of a tweener at this point, because he was coming out and saving China from the odd beatdown, but then he was beating her up as he left anyway. So he was sat in the middle somewhere. So it felt like it kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. And I feel like because of, as you say, that situation with The Undertaker kind of threw a lot of plans into a bit of disarray. So they went, you know what, let's just put the tag belts back in the tag division.
Yeah.
We don't need this anymore. Yeah. It's part of this story.
And fair play to Billy Gunn.
Yeah.
At being okay wrestling The Rock again.
Yeah. Well, it's one of them things where I know there was heat. There's a bit of heat between them afterwards because of the way that The Rock pretty much just buried the Billy Gunn single push. But then it still behooves Billy Gunn to be in the ring with The Rock anyway. It's the Rock. You know, regardless, you know, if you're going to play silly buggers and go, no, I ain't going to wrestle him, then that slows so many things down. Just get in there and get on with it. Do the thing. Deal with it after. You got one match with him, then you can go off and follow your own dreams.
Yeah, you could have that solo album instead. 4-week injury. Match number three. Oh, wait, hang on. Undertaker's gone. Oh, we'll have their mate. Not the Unholy Alliance. Viscera and Midian. And oh my God, at Midian's gear.
The Neon Special.
What is that? I've written down it. Sloppier than an Italian police investigation. I've used that line before. I think it's worth using again.
Bear in mind, the alternative is naked Midian.
I was going to say, and Viscera is very helpful here. He always looked cool with his giant bin bag on. But here, they have the dark blue light. I don't think anyone noticed this before they come out, because obviously, they're in the ministry, kind of worthy in the ministry, kind of just, you know, how Marty Jannetty would always dress up years after the Rockers in his Rockers gear. But Viscera comes out with the dark light, and oh my God, he's just a spitting image of Violet from Willy Wonka. It's also the same size.
John, Violet from Willy Wonka.
You don't need
a
Photoshop. You don't need a Photoshop. Just do the same image. You go, there you go, Tom. 2 seconds work, mate.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's alarmingly true.
Yeah. So they both come out. Well, Midian rolls out Viscera to the handicap casket match, as Vince McMahon has decreed. So even more, I can't believe they changed something that they advertised. Oof.
What a shock.
Wouldn't stand for that nowadays, would they? Gets beat up. Sorry, Triple H gets beat up until Viscera splashes Midian, looking like the Chuckle Brothers at this point. And China low blows Viscera. Mini gets pedigreed and rolled in. And that was a quick match, wasn't it? Oh, wait. No, Tom, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Here comes the money. That's right. Shano, defender of women's rights, then tells Triple H, both at once.
Okay. Minion and Visser have got to fit in that teeny tiny casket at the same time.
Minion and Visser.
This is the biggest screw job of the night for Triple H.
Minion and Visser splash him a bit, roll him in, and oh my God, Minion and Visser just got a win over Triple H. That's something to put on the CV. And that was pretty much it. Unless any other thoughts you have for that bit?
It was one of them where it's a match I remember. I remember watching this entire show first time round, just in love with the whole Triple H fighting everybody thing. I remember being a bit sad that The Undertaker wasn't going to wrestle, but obviously now knowing what I know, I get it. And as soon as they said you got to put them both in, I remember laughing, going, well, you wouldn't fit Viscera in there, let alone Minion and Viscera, you silly beans. This is, the first time Triple H has wrestled Midian since 1998, or 97 maybe.
Right.
It might be 97 actually when DX faced the Godwins. So, star-crossed lovers find each other once again.
Triple H and Viscera both. What's tag
former
partners?
Former Kings of the Ring.
Yeah, both Kings of the Ring and wrestled at Survivor Series 95 to team up against The Undertaker. So, I mean, are they. What's the expression?
Super friends.
Tunnel buddies?
Tunnel buddies!
I don't think that's correct, is it, Tom?
Thunder buddies.
Thunder buddy. Yeah, there we go. Moving on. So, yeah, also, it's like, obviously, Midian got rolled into the casket easily. Triple H was incapable of rolling Viscera in without the help of the Oompa Loompas. Backstage is a weird bit. Lillian asks Ivory, do you accept Lillian's challenge for a hardcore match in Unforgiven? And Ivory gives a Bret Hart response to this. Well, I'm going to fight
you
her the best of my... yeah, actually. Well, I think Bill Goldberg shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame for ending my career.
A really good Bret Hart
impression. I love doing it. Sometimes you get it completely wrong and sometimes it comes out right. So
yeah, and just sometimes sound like you don't want to be there. I think that's part of the Bret Hart.
You can make that noise even if it doesn't do it. Like he's
under no circumstances will I fight my brother.
Yeet!
La, la, la,
come
la,
here,
la,
Owen!
Yeah, she was very like Bret Hart-esque. I'm bringing class and prestige. And
I'm going to defend the women's title and Unforgiven. Luna Vachon, you're a hell of an athlete.
I liked it. Yeah. I like Ivory putting a little bit of a sparkle in the women's wrestling division. Yeah.
Good effort.
Yeah.
Completely wasted, but God love her.
You've had to build. You've built a women's championship match in two segments, which we'll see play out at Unforgiven, which you can watch along with us next week. Myself and Matthew will be doing as opposed to an episode of SmackDown like this, we'll be offering a commentary track, a watch-along of WWF Unforgiven 1999. That'll be in the same place this time next week.
Yeah.
Just FYI. Come join us. Matthew's excited. I'm excited.
That'd be great.
Get the cat excited.
My day will then be watching Unforgiven for 3 hours, doing a podcast, and we'll hopefully have gotten up even earlier to watch AEW and NXT. I'm going to be on my ass.
We'll do some admin and figure out a day if Thursday's not good.
I like the idea of becoming tired and goes, hey, you ready for the podcast? No.
Oh, God, I hate everything.
Do you want a Midian? Anyway, moving on. Next segment, The Hollies. The replay shows.
He's my brother.
Oh, he is heavy, Tom. I can tell you. That's a gimmick.
Super heavyweight.
That's better. The Raw replay shows. I remember this match. Big Boss Man versus Hardcore Holly. Hardcore Holly with a glass jar, which I assume wasn't a real bit of glass, right? Or whatever. Smashes it over Boss Man's face. This was a legit injury for Boss Man. He legit got glass in his eye.
Oh.
And you see on the thing there, it swells up. It's still swollen this episode of SmackDown. He was hurting. But Boss Man, legendary in his toughness.
Oh, double tough was Ray Traylor. Yeah.
Connor had the line when he was Bubba Rogers and they were parking the car to go in the arena and there was fans outside going, yeah. As we're getting out the car, Connor wasn't looking and just slammed the door on Rogers' fingers. And Roger didn't say anything. He just went, Jim, can you open the door, please? He goes, oh, God, sorry about that, Bubba. He goes, all right, cool. And they walked in the arena after saying hello to the fans. And then as soon as the door was shut, Bob was like, oh, God, that hurt so much. Just held it in.
Wow. So, he's a boy, isn't he?
He's a boy.
Double tough.
Boy boss. Holly says he blinded Boss Man. So, Al Snow, you're wrestling him at Unforgiven. I think I should deserve a title shot. Did you see any... Al Snow actually agrees with that.
Yeah.
Comes out. And Michael Hayes, busy putting over... those damn dirty dogs, the Rottweilers. Did you see what those Rotties did to that dummy on Raw? And I said, oh, don't talk that way about Sting. Come on. And we get a match that lasts about a minute and a half. We get the Hardcore Holly dropkick. Oh, love seeing him.
Always nice to see the best dropkick in the history.
I still insist it's the best dropkick in wrestling. Because someone says Okada, and I don't know that guy.
Adam Max said.
Okay.
Am I a joke to you? Adam Axted, who wrestles around the UK scene quite a bit, does a very good dropkick.
Mm.
We're going to put Maxted over as a masterful dropkicker.
Dropkicker, yes.
Dropkicker.
There's probably some others as well off the top of my head, but Hardcore Holly's always in my head. Like,
yeah.
That dropkick, that could have been a finisher in the 80s.
It really could have done, couldn't it?
The Arn Anderson Spinebuster, the Hardcore Holly dropkick.
I'm going to hit you with the dropkick, and I'm going to become the Mid-Southern Territories Open Weight Champion.
I'm going to hit you with a Canadian dropkick, Hardcore Holly.
Anyway. All right, Brett,
and
mate.
During a chin... I'll stop doing that. During a chin lock that Holly has on Al Snow, we get a video backstage of Boss Man antagonizing the dogs in a car.
Oh, God.
Hopefully the window's slightly open.
Boss Man, the dog botherer.
The dog botherer. God.
He's also obsessed with dogs.
He's also a fire marshal.
He's also... What's he doing? What's he drawing? He's drawing a dog. He's obsessed. He's obsessed with dogs. Smoke kills in seconds. Fire kills in minutes.
Hey, up.
Man. No, no,
be,
no,
up,
no.
Be up in flames like this. Woof. He tells the dogs, Phoenix. I bet you taste like chicken too. This powers up Al Snow at the fury of the dogs suffering insults. That they clearly understand. They speak botherer. To escape the chin lock. However, sucks to be Al Snow. Crash Holly interferes. And Holly wins with the Falcon Arrow. Big Boss Man KOs Hardcore Holly with a chained fist. And as Hayes points out, is a dog chain.
Oh, just, of course it is.
And as if they weren't hamming this up even more.
Everything dog.
He then forces dog food down the mouth of Al Snow.
Oh, God.
It's amazing. This whole thing is amazing.
All
number four, the boiler room. Triple H is led to this with Tom Pritchard, I believe.
Yes, Tom Pritchard.
Dr. Tom.
We haven't played Who's That Referee this time.
Oh, no, I think we've run into
ground. Yeah.
It's the same dude, so.
Harvey Whippleman is a new addition.
Yeah. This is a nice little cheesy segment they have. He goes, all right, all you got to do is escape. And he goes, all I have to do is escape. He goes, yep, that's right.
No.
Words, Matt.
All right, we'll give him a call.
That was great. That was great, by the way.
He said Noah. No, he said Noah. That's just how he talked. Oh, God, Vince is going to go mental.
What if they bought Noah and he's like, what do you mean you've bought
Noah? I said Noah. Oh.
You bought a company.
You told us Noah. Noah. I said, oh, good point. Well made. If you missed that joke at the first part of the podcast,
it was worth repeating.
Totally worth repeating. I'm annoyed I haven't done that on the video yet. By the time you've heard this, I probably have.
UK TV Gold presents the Noah joke from Tom Campbell. Okay, so he goes, oh, all right, then where's Mankind? Already in. What? Noah. Oh, God, no. Damn it.
We're not stuck in it. No. We're stuck in a Japanese.
And then Mankind's like, what do you mean Noah? I'm not an ark. bit of nice cheese here. Lots more distraction for Mick Foley. To hide the fact that he's knackered.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It's all plunder and fun in this match, isn't it? You know how everybody gets on? Well, I say everybody. OSW Review.
Hello.
exactly, them ones.
Sorry.
Them ones. Happy days are here again. You know how they get on the case of... It's mainly OC who gets on the case of Lex Luger being a noisy wrestler. Foley. I dare you! Foley's a noisy boy.
Yeah.
Foley's noisy when he wrestles.
Well, that was Cactus Jack. When he was Mankind, it was even worse. He go,
but now he's
That's also the noise the Rottweilers saw when they saw the Big Boss Man.
But he's now reverted to type, and now he's back to Cactus Jack's.
Yeah, good guy, Mankind. Is also the same as Hajaja.
Bag on my head. Squeal, squeal.
He's got the vinegar strokes. So lots of distraction here. And also, the obviously, make it that it's being filmed by people backstage. So the camera cuts and it's to another position. And it's just like playing Resident Evil, actually. Because it's like, I'll go from one room and it cuts to, like, not the exact same camera shot. It's like, oh, I'm over here now.
If you watch for ages, you see Triple H running after Mick Foley. Foley goes the wrong way, so Triple H runs in a perfect circle to try and recalibrate where he is. Picks up some, and he's really badly hurt, so he picks up some herbs, mixes them, and eats them.
No, he went to do that, but it was empty because Roadhog had just been there.
Hey! Ooh. He did some drugs.
Drug addiction, so funny.
He did some drugs.
And this is good TV. Probably sucks for the live crowd. Ah. Uh-huh. But they're also getting five other gimmick matches.
Imagine the crowd sounded like they were popping in the arena.
And the big move of this is a suplex on bolts and nails and also concrete.
Now, the bolts and nails, am I right in thinking that Triple H, like, beat Mankind up, left him on the floor, went to get a bag of bolts and nails, and then just slipped over and spilt them everywhere? Or was there meant to be a drop toe hold there? Because it looked like Triple H just walked up to Foley and tripped over and just spilt them everywhere.
I thought it was the thing where they go, like, to demonstrate how dangerous those things are by slipping, but maybe I'm giving this credit. Way too much credit.
Because normally if it's like a bag of tacks, they hold up the thumbtacks and then spill them out there. But it just looked like Triple H just fell over and spilled them out. It might have been like, oh, I'm so hurt.
I was sure, like, it's a boiler room. You don't know what you're going to trip over. There might be a tool. There might be a janitor asleep.
A boiler.
Yeah, why has someone picked up? Oh, my God, he's got the boiler over there. Bonk.
It's the same way that there's never gloves in a glove box. You never see a boiler in the boiler room.
Oh, that's very deep, actually. Jeez.
Deep, man.
You got me thinking. However, Mankind recovers. You got some nice camera in there. Triple H takes Socko to the mouth, the gullet. And then Mankind could leave, but he's that wacky Mick. So instead of that, he sets up Triple H for what would have been an absolutely insane elbow of this little platform.
Absolutely no way he would have reached.
No.
And like, it was, well, you're thinking, mate, you were going to splat on the concrete.
As Foley described in his ill-fated dive at WrestleMania 2000, who tried jumping off the apron, he said Captain Ahab had more spring in his step than him. There's no way. However, he is knocked off the platform by a mystery person. And he falls like the reviews for 2K20 through the table and plunder and hope for some safety mats. And Triple H escapes the Crystal Maze escape room.
Congratulations, Triple H, who has now won two and lost two. So he has to beat The Rock in a Brahma bull rope match in order to get to Unforgiven.
We've got to keep on watching SmackDown, don't we?
Exactly. We have to keep on keeping on. Mm. Oh, who pushed Mankind, though?
Ooh. Who did push Mankind?
Where's it? The Denver Broncos.
Officer Bob Brady.
Officer Bob Brady.
The British Bulldog. Oh, speaking of which.
Oh, yes.
British Bulldog walking backstage, sweating.
He's always got a sweat on.
I mean, God almighty, I've seen a man sweat, but they usually had a match.
He sweats through a jumper most of the time.
The jumper was white when he bought it. It's beige now. And he's having a shout what he's doing. As you said, look, don't tell.
Exactly.
He's telling, not looking. Vince, where are you? I'm looking for Vince.
I'm looking for Vince McMahon.
I'm walking. Look.
I'm sweating.
Look, we all love Bulldog in this country, right?
Oh, yeah.
His promos.
He's quite the guy. He just sort of starts talking and just goes on a magical mystery tour.
I'm going to start the sentence. I don't know where it's going to end.
Because I'm bizarre.
Oh.
He's up.
I'm looking for Vince. I need someone to wash me clothes in a high heat. Get a spell out. Anyway, from the serious.
Vince,
bloody hell!
What a weird friendship. Vince, can you wash me clothes? I keep telling you, Bulldog, I'm not the cleaner.
Anyway, we get the last ever appearance of Ken Shamrock.
Oh,
next in a first
pull
blood
one
match.
Out.
Cole still insisting this match is happening on pay per view, so I'm interested to see when exactly Ken left and how short the notice was.
Yeah.
Or they're going, you know what? We've changed so much about Unforgiven, we'll just lie.
And hopefully this will be the only time that they sell a pay-per-view on a match that they know is definitely not happening.
Yeah.
We're looking at you, WWF, from 20 years ago.
Mm. Anyway, Chris Jericho comes out dressed in hockey gear, taking full advantage of the no DQ, because it's First Blood.
This is genius.
So, yeah,
genius.
So. It's like Jimmy Hart coming out. And what did he do? Oh, a Knight Shining Armor. gear. He had in a hardcore match with Norman Smiley that one time.
There you go. He came out in full armour. Makes sense. Jericho's putting all the hockey gear on, a helmet and padding. And yeah, if I was having a First Blood match, that'd be how I'd do it.
And it helps because the referee is Harvey Whippleman, who's a bit of a puck. So Ken dominates. And this doesn't make a lot of sense, to be honest with you.
The bit that doesn't make any sense is Ken Shamrock ramming Jericho's head into the steel post when Jericho's wearing a helmet.
Yeah, plus the padding that Shamrock is hitting and Jericho is selling. I've got nothing here, Tom. I've got absolutely nothing here. Like both these guys, I think there was a bit of miscommunication.
Maybe
here.
Shamrock never got sacked. Maybe he just got told to go to the shop and come back with some tartan paint and he's still away.
He's still recovering from that party, him and Undertaker.
He's still of an Impact thinking it's SmackDown.
Oh, God. It's a very
sloppy... He thinks Moses Curtis Hughes.
Oh. Tom. What happened to you, Tom? It used to be me that had to have stuff edited out, and here you are, dog diddling.
The dog diddling, eyebrow raising, trailblazing.
That name is Tom. T-O-M. Women are inferior, dogs are superior. Campbell.
The Rock is doing the trailblazing, eyebrow raising, dog diddling. And everyone goes, what? He just drops it in one day. Jabroni beaten.
Trailblazing.
Oh, wow. Pie eating, dog diddling.
Percocet trail eating.
Paracetamol eating. Sorry, Bulldog.
Bizarre. It's a sloppy match where I think they both had different ideas how this match was going.
Yeah, so.
Until Mr. Hughes shows up. And boy, good job taking what must have been, the fifth bump of his entire career in this match. It looked like it was the first one he ever took. God, hell. Jericho beats him up with a hockey stick as Ken bleeds from the mouth. For the 50th time this year.
He's good at that bleeding out of the mouth spot. I don't think
he loved it.
I just think he's got internal bleeding. I think he's got gingivitis.
Because this is based on something that really happened.
He bled from the mouth?
Yeah, in FMW, they decided to have flyover of their big show, Ken Shamrock and Vader, in a shoot rules, unify stuff there, which on paper looks like, whoa, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Except Ken somehow ended up getting internal bleeding for real from a few power bombs from Vader and couldn't do much after that.
Oh.
And literally bled from the mouth, like legitimately.
Oh, jeez.
So they saw that and thought, you know what? We should do that every month. You'll have at least one match that ends with you bleeding internally. Like, there's nothing inside you apart from blood. And every once in a while, someone squeezes out of you like a tube of toothpaste.
So eventually, if you'd stayed in the company a bit longer, somebody would have done like a splash onto him and you just would have seen... And sawdust coming out of Shamrock's mouth.
It would have been like a performance seal. It would have been a ball on the end of the red mist. Oh,
run out of blood.
And so they would use this to basically say, oh, you know what? Shamrock got beat up so badly that he can't be here for the pay-per-view match and then was never seen again. Surprisingly, has never had a comeback, never had a cameo or Hall of Fame appearance.
Yeah, I find that really peculiar that Ken Shamrock is just forgotten about by the WWE.
Especially when they've done this whole thing with Lesnar. Wow, the first guy to breach the barrier between UFC and WWE and all this. And I was like, but Savin and Shamrock were like, okay, thanks.
Meanwhile, Ken Shamrock having a Lion's Den match, which is basically the octagon in a WWF environment.
Yeah. And Savin literally showing up with the UFC Ultimate title when he was NWA champion that one time.
I wonder whether there's a reluctance to because they fear it might damage that credibility they've built around Brock Lesnar.
Well, I think UFC as well also see that as a completely different era. Mm. You know, the Shamrock 7 era when, you know, shots to the balls were legal.
Like, I think it'd be great to see Ken Shamrock inducted into the Hall of Fame. I mean,
King of the Ring?
The way that his run, is there's still echoes of his impact today.
Tapping out,
which is, you know, that it sounds really daft how the idea of slapping the mat revolutionized submissions, but it did. It gave a physical indicator to the crowd when somebody submitted, and I think that's powerful because now if you're trapped in a submission move in a make or break match, when you see the guy who is being submissioned raise his arm up, in a position where his hand is elevated above the canvas, like, suddenly that is the equivalent of a 2.5. Mm. That's the equivalent of the ref getting to 2. Like, that's powerful. And Ken Shamrock was an instigator of that. The ankle lock.
Yeah.
Everyone credits Kurt Angle and Jake Hager. Obviously, I'm kidding. Hager.
Yeah, no credits
Hager. Hager got the double ankle lock. What if I do it to both legs? It'll look awful, mate. But he was the one that brought in that.
Yeah.
He brought in that UFC feel. I feel like he should get some love. Hashtag Ken Shamrock for Hall of Fame.
If not for the Vader match, which was amazing, and if not that, the feud with The Rock, where The Rock would just antagonize him to the point where Shamrock would win and then keep on beating him up because he was just, I just want to beat you up some more. So the reverse decision and he'd lose. So great.
Do you know what would do it and bring in Ken Shamrock into WWE? Right? Cody, offer Shamrock some money. offer Ken Shamrock a big contract. The moment you do that, Ken Shamrock inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
And you know what happened? Even though he's been on Impact the last few years, people go, he's returning to wrestling.
Yeah, that's it. And Impact's like, are we a joke to you? Yeah, mate. First time in the WWE. First time in wrestling. All these years. Same way how on NXT this past week, Tegan Knox returned. And they built it as, she's back in a wrestling ring. Oh, her legs look like they're holding up all right in those knee braces. Great to see her finally back in a ring. Yeah, she's wrestled twice on NXT UK, mate. She's wrestled twice on your brand.
That was so weird.
How where? We playing that, lads. I got to tell on this.
Continuity don't matter. But, okay, sorry to see you, Shamrock, but get out of the way so we can enjoy the British Bulldog talking to Vince McMahon backstage.
Where's my title shot?
That's right.
Where's my title shot?
History.
First time Bulldog demanded a title shot was on this day.
His accent is all over the place.
It
is like a rumba. It doesn't know where it's going, but it's making a mess. Because it goes Yorkshire and it goes somewhere else, and I have no idea how to do that.
But he's Mancunian, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, so that's it's hard to tell because he's been billed from so many different places in England. But Manchester's the one that sticks with people.
I think he's generally Mancunian. I'm sure he's Mancunian.
After hearing this, I don't know.
I don't know.
He's half Manchester, half someone else.
It's a bit muddled. Like I heard Tegan Knox to go back to Tegan Knox, who's from Wales, in a build-up promo for her return to NXT UK, which did happen.
No, it didn't.
And her accent now, I think, because she's been abroad for quite a while, or she was abroad for quite a while, her accent seems quite muddled in the sense that you hear a bit of beautiful Welsh cadence, but also you hear a bit of some Americanisms creeping in.
Right. Well, I saw an American friend at a party, and he was like, "Oh, are you from around here?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Like, you know what I'm saying? Yes, because I'm so used to talking to people who aren't from around here that this is my easy for foreigners version of saying. Which is why sometimes on the podcast I'll just say something Northeastian, just for the sake of doing it, so I remember who I am.
This is your transatlantic voice.
There we go, yeah, because the Americans are like, Can I interrupt you, Matthew? What are you saying?
Well, we are, man.
Who's that?
He's
Japanese?
A very small version of Tony Stark.
Oh, God. Anyway, so Bulldog went to Style Shop, and Vince as well.
Apparently, Vince promised him one.
Yeah.
You got one. You promised one about title, mate.
Yeah. I want a proper one.
Call that a title shot?
Yeah. And he goes, "All right, well, if you think you're ready, because you'll take Undertaker's place."
Wow.
And you're also the referee tonight. Now, that's how it's done.
Bulldog was the one who said, "You've done me a favour. I'll do you a favour. I'll be the referee in the Brahma Bull Rock match." And Vince is like, "Yeah, sure, why not? Refs are on strike. Since the referees are on strike, there's now an enforcer, and it's the British Bulldog." Stone Cold, the British Bulldog. Bulldog is now your ref. But Bulldog said, "Look, I'll do you a favor." And I think I wasn't being pernickety by pointing that out. That's a very important point. That it's Bulldog that says, "I want to be the ref in the main event."
Again, it's great. I've done this shorthand, but as we've said previously, there's so much lore in this.
So much. Like, we don't watch Raw, so therefore...
Yeah, you skim read that easy. I can do that on a post-it note.
So it's not even a case of it's like missing a month because we miss Raw. So, like, all the stuff that we... Like, I'm pretty sure, if you look at this, I'm sure there's at least two different champions compared to the last week's episode. I'm sure there's been at least two title changes.
Yes.
And at least one heel turn or face turn.
Tag titles on Raw, tag titles on SmackDown.
There you go.
Huge Outlaws are back together. 16 gimmicks, whatever they'll get you.
Billy Gunn's now a face.
Yeah.
He was a tweener before.
1 week. 1 week, Tom.
It's been one week since we sat here.
And also, I fell over, Tom.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you for catching me. I appreciate that.
I pulled. This time, Matthew didn't fall off his chair. You did that on the YouTube channel. It was hilarious.
It wasn't even. I'm glad that people that brought enjoyment to people, but I've fallen way worse than that.
Challenge accepted.
Thank you for just my mouth. And we have the main event, match number 5 in the Triple H series. And I thought, oh no, we have to listen to that crap theme again. It's a different theme, Bulldog has.
I prefer the other theme.
Oh, this is gash. This sounds like a PlayStation 1 started up.
This is a demo disc. This is not a demo disc.
Anyway, Bulldog is this. That's good. Bulldog is a special guest referee for Triple H versus The Rock in the Brahma Bull Rope match. Got out that right time. Thank you very much. Well, and with a 10-foot rope, which looks huge to me for a match like this. I thought the whole thing was supposed to be close to them. They did this with Rusev and Cena as well. Last time they did a rope match in WWE. The thing was massive. They could have been on either sides of the ring and it still would have been connected to them.
I guess they want to give them enough purchase to have a solid match as well. Ugh. Presumably.
Missing the point. Anyway, it's the main event, crowd brawl. So they go out to the outside. Some kid pats The Rock on the back because security are not expecting this. There's also one of those inflatable aliens in the crowd.
Oh, that was cute. That was nice.
That is the Pokemon Go of 99, bleeding everywhere. They brawl. There's a steps bump. There's some brawling, some more brawling. There's not much action here to call because don't worry, everything else happening. Then Bulldog and Triple H get each other's faces because it's 99. And yes, they probably could do a DQ in a Brahma Bull Rope match.
Yeah, do you know what? Anything. I thought this would be The Rock's signature match. In the same way that I think
the
cage was
going
to be the Y2J. I thought this was going to be The Rock's signature match. I feel like it's a staple of big main event wrestlers that you have your own.
Undertaker's
staple
got
match.
Very live casket. Kane's got Inferno. Mankind's got The
big
Rock's
show
got
chokeslam challenge.
See, everyone's got their own one.
Yeah,
and it's also really a rematch of Fully Loaded 99, but without the distraction of the Bully Gun singles push. So it's like, okay, what's going to happen here? Gets a DDT on the outside for two. Jeff Jarrett runs into KO China with the pan because there's a woman and he's like, woman!
Woman!
No, down, Jarrett, calm.
Jarrett, get away from the main event. Get back! You're not allowed here. This is a special room.
Women are mid card and men a main event.
The following people are in the mid card. Jeff Jarrett. Thank you.
The Rock gets the rock bottom on Triple H, but Bulldog nails him. Maybe The Rock was supposed to bounce off or do the people's elbow first. Whatever, Bulldog's a professional. And Bulldog hits him with the running power slam without leaving his feet. He is definitely in position to be in the pay-per-view main event.
He is in perfectly good shape. Like, Undertaker is knackered. He can't be in the main event. Let's replace him with somebody who's even more knackered.
Yeah, God, really.
What a time for wrestling this is.
Yeah.
All these paggard performers.
So Triple H gets the pedigree. Easy 1, 2, 3. Makes literally no sense going into a 6-pack challenge where it's every man for himself, creating an alliance between two people.
Why?
And
I think that's brilliant. That's ingenious by Triple H to align himself with a dum-dum like Bulldog. Because as it would pan out, Triple H promised Bulldog a title match, as it would pan out.
Mm.
So therefore, Triple H getting somebody in that match who's on his side, brilliant. Mm. It's genius. But Triple H is a coward. He is like this.
He's not a coward. He's a cerebral assassin.
I know. I'm sorry.
He thinks really well.
He thinks well good.
In the words of Jack the Jobber.
He are well clever. So he's got himself a somebody in his corner in that match. I think it's genius.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, really needed something now that Bulldog has gone from dog's body, literally, with the Al Snow Big Boss Man feud, to the replacement for The Undertaker.
They should have put him on the poster doing The Undertaker's pose.
Yeah.
That'd have shifted some seats. That'd have put some butts in the seats.
Honestly, Bulldog should have gone out and bought like a lottery ticket with the luck he's got there. You know, he's going to be in the mid-card throwing dogs around. Yeah. Guess what, buddy?
Guess where you are, man.
We're going to party like it's 1989.
We're still during that. Is there still that lawsuit? The Hart lawsuit still going on as well.
That is exactly why Dave Roysmith is here.
Yeah, here he is in the main event.
Also, like Vince Mann's point at Europe going, huh?
Yeah,
yeah, you remember him, right?
Yeah, he's doing all right.
Wembley Stadium, 92, yeah.
Let's roll back the years.
Yeah, he's exactly the same. There's that match. He can't remember what he's supposed to be doing. Brett, I'm effed. Sorry, I knew you wanted to say it, but I mean, it's above our minds.
It was. I'm glad that you said it the way you did.
And he's barely on those episodes of Superstars as well, and someone was reviewing them going, Bulldog has had no build. And basically, Brett's bug said, yeah, because he spent the summer just getting high with Nine Dog. The preparation for the biggest match of his career.
Oh, God bless you, Davey boy. We're looking forward to your main event next week. What a time.
I'm looking forward to it.
So that was SmackDown.
That was the fifth episode of SmackDown. What an episode it was. Let's do the recap, as you always do. What was something that you remembered from way back when?
I remember the entire premise of like Triple H's 12 trials. You don't have the whole one. So he's had the last egg from the Haribo sweets. That would make no sense if you... Thank you, I'll have the last teddy bear. None of this would make sense if you don't know what Haribo is.
Who doesn't know what Haribo is?
I know, some weird people. I remember the whole concept of the show, which is Triple H, you're going to face everybody in their signature matches. And as I said at the beginning, I was bloody over the moon watching, knowing at the start of the show, oh my God, I'm getting an Inferno match and a casket match and a Brahma Bull Rope match, don't know what that is, and a Chokeslam challenge and a Boiler Room Brawl, and what is going on?
Yeah.
Wrestling!
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, I was excited by that. How about you? What do you remember?
I remember, because I was such a big fan of them, Midian and Viscera beating Triple H.
You were a Midian and Viscera fanboy, weren't you?
I was. Viscera looked cool when he'd have that bleeding purple light on him. And Midian, when he didn't rest, when he dressed like this, oh, it looks bad. Yeah, I just liked him. I just like the look of him because he looked like a smelly goth. And I knew them in real life. I'm like, yeah, representing. It's only 2 years later I realized how crap he was. But yeah, I remember that distinctively. Like, those two lads, not the Unholy Alliance, they're the Ministry. No, they never got a tag team name. They were in the Ministry,
but
the Ministry's dead.
They were Midian and
Viscera. That was it.
They were basically two guys from a college fraternity who, when they left college, still hung out together.
Yeah.
That's essentially what they are.
Yeah.
Midian, they are just Midian and Viscera.
Then
Howard Finkel.
Friends because of proximity.
Yeah. The FP. The FBP.
No, that's
that. The FBO. The F-bop. They are the F-bop. Midian and Viscera, from here on in, will be known as the F-bop. Please pass this on to Dennis Knight. No point telling Nelson Fraser, he's dead. But the F-bop are from what they'll be here on known as. What did you forget from this show?
I hope to forget the
F-bop.
Yeah. I hope to forget F-bop. That straight away.
We are the F-bop, hanging out together, being super friends.
F-bop, dippy-dap-dap-da, F-pop, dippy-dap-da. I forgot that Ken Shamrock left so abruptly.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing if you're watching TV and it's like, well, Ken Shamrock will not be appearing this evening.
There will be no encore.
There will be. Goodbye, Springfield. So that was weird because, you know, you expect people to have these great big exits. And you almost thought, wow, what a great way. They could have overdubbed this, I guess, if they knew in advance. Oh, my God, Ken actually died from those. Oh, my God, Hayes, how terrible is that?
I must go. My planet needs me.
He bled so much that he actually doesn't fit the heavyweight criteria anymore. He'll be challenged for the light heavyweight title against Goldberg in an armory near you soon.
I mean, that would have been fine.
Right.
Or just a flash that said Ken Shamrock died on the way back to his home planet. Just before a break, done.
Jericho goes, who was I feuding with the last few weeks? And people are like, Ken Shamrock, who?
I'm sure they do a promo for this match on the pay-per-view.
They must do something.
Because I seem to remember a promo where Jericho's going, Ken Shamrock. I'm sure they do a promo to build to a match. Right. And then on the night they go, what ain't happening? I might be wrong. I may have Mandela.
But to replacement, here's Midian and Viscera.
Oh, what a treat that would be.
Or Savio Vega with some barbed wire.
As always, that's the best replacement.
That's always the go-to, anyway.
I forgot how noisy Mankind was when he wrestled. I judge you! I judge you! I judge you!
What a great way of calling spots. All right, when I go, ha-da-da-da, that means give me a knee.
Yeah. Ha-da means knee. Yeah. Ha-da-da-da means arm drag. Ha-da-da-da means powerbomb. Oh, I couldn't keep up.
And oh, cool. Ha-da-da-da means go F your mother and cling on.
Next week, at this exact time when you normally download the show, you will not hear a review of SmackDown. Instead, you will hear Matthew Gregg and myself watching WWF Unforgiven 1999.
Magic the Gathering brings to you.
Undertaker's on the poster. He's bound to be there. Yeah. I'm excited. He is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic. Don't forget to join us. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.